Let's turn to John chapter 16. There's a few verses I want us to look at this morning as we continue to look at what Jesus was teaching his disciples in the upper room. We're actually getting near the end of his teachings that evening, or at least what John recorded. John chapter 17, the whole thing is a prayer, and so I think we'll have probably one more week in John 16, but we're not quite there yet. So we're in the middle of John 16. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and in this section, he's teaching them about this helper that he had introduced them to earlier in the evening, this helper that he would send. And so we're going to learn more about the helper, the Holy Spirit, and the work that he does in our lives. If you have your Bible, or you see a Bible in the pew in front of you, if you look at the New Testament, it's probably about that thick, precious words of God. This message today and these verses are going to talk about where that came from, the origins of that New Testament. So, obviously, Rosemary just shared about her team going to Uganda. I had the opportunity to go with our Mexico team to Mexico to help with Gary Sandman, and they're doing construction on a new sanctuary and new bathroom facility area, and it was a wonderful trip. We shared about that several weeks ago. Beautiful weather, beautiful scenery surrounded by mountains. Very fun people in that group that we had, fun people to be around. But there was one thing that was a barrier the whole week, the whole time that I was there, that made it really hard to connect with some of the people at the ministry site, and that was the language barrier. So there were four Mexican guys who were working with us. They basically only knew Spanish. My 2 years of Espanol in high school didn't quite cut it. I was in the dark when it came to trying to communicate with them. So we would come together for meals, and they would be sitting, and a lot of times I'd end up sitting kind of near them, and they're just talking away, and our group is talking away, and it's like, I have no idea what they're saying. Very frustrating to have a language barrier. They're talking, they're laughing, and I have no idea what they're talking about. And communication barriers can be frustrating. Maybe you've had an experience like that. It doesn't have to be a language barrier. It can be something else, just where two people are on completely different pages. Okay, frustrating. They can show up in many ways. This morning, I want to talk about a communication barrier that's very important to talk about, and it's the communication barrier that humans have with God. There's a communication barrier that exists. God knows and understands everything about us. Like, he gets it. He gets us. He knows us. He created us. He knows everything about us, but in our human nature, we are extremely limited in our ability to understand him. And I'm especially talking about before we receive this gift that I'm going to be talking about later on. So in our natural selves, we're extremely limited in our ability to understand our Creator. Part of that has to do with the difference between the finite, which is what we are, and the infinite, which is what He is. There's this drastic difference. He is far greater and higher than us. He exists in a realm of his own that we don't naturally understand. We can't naturally understand that. But beyond that barrier and difference is our ability to understand God is intensified because of the influence of sin and Satan. So it's not just creator-creature, it's also sin and Satan, and the influence that they have in our lives. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says that because of sin, we are darkened in our understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. There's many passages in Scripture that talk about this limited understanding that we have when it comes to understanding God. We have a huge communication barrier, inability to understand God, the things of God, which is truth. Okay. Not only do we not speak His language, and I'm talking again in our natural selves, but we don't even have the ability to comprehend it in ourselves. We are in the dark, and this is a huge problem on many levels. So first of all, humans don't naturally understand our separation from God. We don't even understand we're separated from God, that we desperately need salvation. We don't understand what God has done to save us or what we need to do to receive salvation. We don't understand God's purpose and will for our lives and how to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. So on all these different levels, this communication barrier is a huge problem. We're in the dark. Okay, but God has not left us in the dark. He's provided the solution to breaking through this communication barrier so that we are able to understand Him and all these different things and at all these different levels. And we started to look at His solution last week in John chapter 16. You remember Jesus' disciples by this time in the evening were deeply troubled because they knew that He was going to be leaving them. But he told them it would be to their advantage if He left them, because by leaving them, He would go to the Father and He would then send this helper we saw last week, the Holy Spirit. The helper would begin to break the communication barrier between God and man. And the first thing that He would do that we saw last week would be to convict the world, Jesus said, convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. We looked at that, what that meant. And so instead of being completely in the dark, humans would know, we talked about their guilt before God, that there's this need for salvation from judgment, this need for repentance. And so this communication barrier is being broken by the Holy Spirit and His work here, or would be, here on earth. But the Holy Spirit would do much more than that. And this week we're going to look at what Jesus said to His disciples in the next part of that conversation about what the helper would do in their lives. So He said this is what the helper is going to do in the world, but now in their lives. And we can experience the same thing today that we're going to be reading about and talking about. And I want us to see how that's possible and what we need to do to experience that. So let's read the verses that I have for this morning. It's just four verses. Right in the middle of John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus teaches this to His disciples. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you." I almost just skipped these verses in the preaching series until this week I spent more time with them and I realized what He was talking about. We have to remember the situation that the disciples were in. They're deeply troubled. They're very overwhelmed at that point in the evening. Jesus had been sharing with them several things that they didn't like to hear, and the way that things were going was not the way they wanted things to go as they were following Christ. It became very apparent that evening in the upper room, Jesus was telling them that He was going to die. They didn't like that. He would be leaving them. They didn't like that. He was also telling them, we saw in earlier weeks, that one of them was going to betray Him and the rest of them would actually abandon Him later that evening. And so they were very troubled, they were very confused, and their lives were really turning upside down. You can try to imagine the bewilderment, confusion, being overwhelmed in that situation. And so as Jesus was teaching them, we see in verse 12 that I just read that there were many more things that He needed to say to them, but he wasn't going to because it was just too much for them to bear at that time. They were overwhelmed. They hadn't received also what they needed, that what he talked about next, in order to really understand the deep things of God. They needed something beyond their ability, and we do too. Our own ability in our natural selves to understand the things of God, we need more. They needed something more in order to receive further revelation of the truth or those things that Jesus said, I have a lot more that I need to tell you, but you're not able to bear it right now. And so he didn't tell them all these things because of this communication barrier. He wasn't going to just keep shoveling and cramming information down their overwhelmed throats, even though he knew his time with them was short. Why didn't he, you know, it's like, wouldn't he start to panic? Like, there's all this stuff I have to tell you yet. But he didn't panic. He didn't have to tell them everything right then because he knew that they would have another teacher, a helper that he would send to them after he left and went to the Father. And that helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth, that he uses that title here. So he had also already spoken to them of this Spirit of Truth earlier that evening. One of the key verses that ties in with this is John 14:26, where he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So Jesus knew that the teacher was going to be doing that kind of ministry, which is why he didn't force feed the disciples in their overwhelmed state, is what he says. The Holy Spirit would break the communication barrier so that the disciples would be able to receive greater understanding of spiritual truth. Okay, the disciples were ordinary men like us, ordinary people. In their natural selves, they had that same communication barrier, even though they were with Jesus. Obviously, they're with Jesus in this setting, and he says, I got a lot more to say to you, but you can't bear it right now because too much, okay? Overwhelmed communication barrier. So the Holy Spirit's going to break through that. They would eventually be able to receive greater understanding of spiritual truth, and Jesus describes kind of that process in verses 13 through 15. So he says, kind of to summarize, the Holy Spirit, he says, would not speak on his own authority. So the Holy Spirit, his role in breaking through the communication barrier isn't to say things on his own authority. Instead, what Jesus says is the Holy Spirit actually takes what's mine and will declare that to you. But Jesus also says, everything that's mine I received from the Father. So the original source of truth that we know and that Jesus was telling his disciples here is God the Father, who gives that to the Son, and the Son gives that to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit declares those things to the disciples. It's kind of like an interpreter, in a way, between God and them, or between God and us. We have an interpreter, essentially, which is the Holy Spirit. The disciples hadn't received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit yet. That would happen at Pentecost. But Jesus is telling them this is going to happen. That's why I don't have to overwhelm you anymore right now, is what he was telling them. Okay, the Holy Spirit. The interpreter aspect made me think about what it was like when my kids were little and they were just beginning to talk. So some of you have kids that are kind of at that 1 year old to three maybe, and it sounds like it's just a lot of gibberish, right? And they're kind of practicing and learning, but eventually they have an understanding of, and they kind of speak in their own dialect. And I notice that with each of my kids. Like, they have these different words that I would learn, and it's like, I know what they're saying. And I would see other people maybe at church or in the community trying to talk with them, and the kids are just, blah, blah, you know, saying this stuff, and it's like, and I could be an interpreter because I understood what my kids were saying, and I could tell the people that maybe it was other family members that weren't around them as much. The Holy Spirit would take the deep things of God and declare them to the disciples. I found another passage that describes what goes on with that really well and what Jesus is telling his disciples about. It describes this really well. It was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul wasn't one of those original disciples, but he was specifically chosen and called by Jesus to be an apostle just like they were. And because of that, Paul experienced the ministry and the teaching of the Holy Spirit just like Jesus was describing on that night to his disciples. And he wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 13. And so it'll be up here. You can read along with me, but listen as well, and you'll see how these two passages tie together. So this is Paul describing his experience of what Jesus was telling his disciples in the upper room, what was going to happen. He says this, "But we impart," he's talking about himself and his team, "we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." So that's the source of spiritual truth. Verse 8, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard," natural man, "nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things," spiritual truth, this mystery of God, "God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." You see the interpretive nature of the Holy Spirit? "And we," Paul and his team, "impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So he's telling the Corinthians, this is our teaching to you. This is where it came from. Ultimately, comes from God, revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and then we, in turn, are speaking these spiritual truths to you who have the Spirit. He was experiencing the very same thing that Jesus was telling his disciples was going to happen in the upper room. When the Holy Spirit came, he would take the deep things of God and declare those things to the disciples. For Paul, what did that look like for him? Paul, in Galatians, I believe, and then I think in the book of Acts, you read about it, there was a period of time, and then some afterwards, where Paul actually received revelations or visions from the Lord, okay? And that's how Paul received the deep things of God. For the apostles, I think there was some of that, but they also had Jesus right there with them teaching them things, and he basically, I think there's a lot of things that Jesus taught the disciples during those 3 years that they didn't really get and understand until the Helper came. And then I just imagine that after Jesus' death the next day and then his resurrection and after his ascension, 40 days after that, and then on Pentecost, 50 days after that, the Holy Spirit comes. All of a sudden, all these things that Jesus had been teaching them, I think what he was telling them, he's like, the Helper is going to bring to mind all these things. And I think all of a sudden, their minds were just opened up to this understanding of all these things that Jesus had been teaching them. So I think that was huge for those disciples. Plus, I think there was definitely further revelation from the Holy Spirit of things yet to come and other things that Jesus, those things where Jesus said, I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. The teacher, the Holy Spirit, revealed those things to them, okay? So just, I mean, again, as I'm this week, as I'm studying these things, I'm like, this is pretty cool stuff. Like, this is telling us the origin of the New Testament and those writings. The Holy Spirit, let me go get back to my notes. Okay, I'll add that. So it was for Paul and his team, based on what I just read in 1 Corinthians, it was their job to teach those spiritual truths that they received from the Holy Spirit to those who became disciples after them, which would include people like us or anyone other than the apostles, the next wave of disciples and the wave after that and the next, getting all the way to current day. The disciples' job was to teach those spiritual truths to future disciples, and the future disciples, Paul says in what he wrote, would be able to understand those teachings because of the Spirit of truth in them. So the Holy Spirit unlocks the communication barrier. The disciples hadn't received the outpouring of the Spirit yet as they were there in the upper room, but Jesus knew that would happen on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would teach them and bring to their remembrance everything that he had taught them, and they would then teach others who became followers of Jesus after them, and that's what they did. As you read about the early church growing in Jerusalem, Acts 2:42 says that one of the things the new converts did was to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then, so the apostles were, during their lifetimes and ministries, they're teaching future generations of disciples, but then those apostles, obviously they all died, but before they died, what has become a tremendous gift for us of unfathomable worth is that before they died, they wrote down their teachings. They wrote them, we got four gospel accounts, and we've got many letters that were copied. They were written, and then they were copied, and they were circulated among churches, and then they were translated into English eventually over the centuries, and it's what we know as the New Testament today. And so now today, we who are in Christ and have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that they had in their lives, we are able to read and study the teachings of the apostles in the New Testament. We can also do the same with the Old Testament and grow in our understanding of spiritual truth and the deep things of God. What a gift. What a gift. The communication barrier has been broken by the Holy Spirit, and we are able to understand and know God's will. The blinders are off. We're not left in the dark. We've been given this tremendous gift. The question for us is this, and this is an obvious one. Am I devoting ourselves to the apostles' teachings? You know, if you think about your practice of Bible reading, like, do you understand what we have in the Scriptures? The treasure that it is, and do we understand that we have in us the Holy Spirit who takes those truths and opens our eyes? It's called illumination, so that we, when we're reading Scripture, we can understand these deep spiritual truths that once we were blind to. Okay? Are we reading the Scriptures on a daily basis in order to grow in our knowledge of God and spiritual truth? Are we essentially giving the Holy Spirit something to work with? The Holy Spirit's work of teaching us spiritual truth from the Word of God can only happen if we're actually taking time to read and study the Word of God. So, if you don't spend time studying the Scriptures, you're not going to grow very much in your understanding of spiritual truth. So, I think I'll talk a little bit about substitutes that we use, which could be, you're like, oh, I go to church on Sunday, I hear Pastor Eric or whatever, you know, whoever preaching, that's good enough. Or I'm listening to podcasts that I like, that's good enough. I would say it's not good enough. Like, it's not enough. There's something different when you personally interact with the inspired Word of God and the teachings of the apostles, and the same Spirit in you as was in them is communicating spiritual truth deep into your heart. Most of you have experienced what that's like when you are communing with God deep in your spirit as you're reading His Word. And there isn't a substitute. My sermons are not a sufficient substitute, or the podcasts you listen to. And so my challenge for all of us is to get into a regular practice of Bible reading and study. What is your practice? Do you have a good study Bible? Like, the one that my favorite study Bible is probably the ESV study Bible. I have about 6 study Bibles in my office. That one gives you the background information. You know, when I preach, I'm all kind of a lot about context and giving you the background information so you can understand. The study Bibles do that for you, okay? The NIV study Bible. There's a MacArthur has like 5 different study Bibles. I encourage you to get a good study Bible that you can just spend time in and glean from and commune with the Holy Spirit, who is opening your eyes to things as you're reading. Does it happen every moment, every time you're reading? No, there's often times where I'm reading and it's, you know, it feels like I'm dull maybe in my spirit, but there are also many times where the Word of God comes alive. And then I'll just talk about phones. So this is coming from experience. So our phones are purposefully made to be addicting. Okay, there's a ton of thought and research that goes into the apps on your phone, the notifications, what they do to draw your attention to them. And once it gets you in there, we call it going down the rabbit hole, like, oh, I was just down the rabbit hole, okay? Where you, all of a sudden, an hour passes and you barely even realize it because you've just been on that phone and it just sucks you in. They're made to do that, okay? And I have gotten to a point, and it was at Grace Marriage one evening where it's like, I had been bringing my phone to the living room and by the couch when I was trying to spend time reading the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit do His thing, and that dumb phone, I could not leave the thing alone. It's like I'd have this thought about, oh, I wonder what the weather is, or I wonder if I got an email from this person, or bing, or on mine it's like, or some little clicky thing, constant distraction. So it's like, I have got to leave that thing in my room. I can survive till 7 a.m. if my phone stays on its charger away from me. And that's helped tremendously. Okay, I'm very tempted to go and get it at different times. But I just encourage you, I think that's something unique in our day and age that we have to live with and struggle with, is to get the phone away. Now, some of us are like, well, my Bible reading app is on my phone. Okay, yes. But that, if you have to have your phone with you, it comes with everything else that's going to distract you. So that's where I go back to, I encourage you to get a paper copy of the Bible so you don't have to have your phone with you, so it doesn't distract you. Let's grow in becoming students of the Word so the Holy Spirit can take then what we read and open the eyes of our hearts as we're reading to seeing and understanding the deep things of God that He wants us to know about Him. And there's a mining God's word is one of the phrases used. Like, the word is valuable. The mysteries of God are valuable. You gotta dig for them. Okay, it's worth digging. It's a treasure worth digging for. So let's do that. Let's pray. Father, these verses are really, really neat to me. Once I started to see what Jesus was, that he was essentially telling them about the origins of the New Testament, it's like, wow, thank you for that gift. Thank you for the gift of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who you give now in new covenant fullness in our hearts, dwelling in us, so that we can actually understand these deeper spiritual truths of you that prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, believers didn't have. Thank you. May we not take the gift of the Scriptures and the gift of your Spirit for granted. I pray that we would all become students of your Word. Not just so that we would gain more knowledge, but beyond that, so that we would commune with you, that we would know you. So help us to get a plan in place and help us to just cherish time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.